Married at First Sight. Chapter 4175. Marco and his companions finally heard footsteps. Instinctively, they turned their heads only to see a group of people closing in fast, surrounding them. Police. Hands up. Don't move. As soon as Marco spotted the officers, the lead policeman shouted the command, immediately drawing his pistol and aiming it at them. The police had been tipped off by Shiloh's brother, who informed them that the kidnappers were armed. Meanwhile, the detectives pursuing Pedro were also carrying firearms. Sage's mind went blank. His head felt like it was about to explode. Why were the police after them? They had scoped out this location in advance. It was remote and desolate, practically abandoned even during the day, let alone at night. No one was supposed to come here. Marco was the first to react. Without hesitation, he bent down, grabbed a kitchen knife, and lunged toward Catherine. If he was going down, he was determined to take her with him. If she died and he paid for her life with his own, it would all be worth it. He snatched up the knife just as Catherine, writhing in pain from her injured arm, rolled across the ground. Watching her suffer filled him with twisted satisfaction. But then he cursed under his breath. She had rolled too far. Furious, Marco charged at her, knife raised high. A gunshot rang out. Before he could strike, the police fired, hitting him in the right hand. The knife clattered to the ground. Marco let out a sharp cry, clutching his wounded hand in agony. Noelle and Sage didn't dare resist. They immediately dropped to the ground, hands over their heads, surrendering without a fight. The police rushed in, pinning all three brothers down and placing them under arrest. Miss Pedro spotted Catherine lying to the side, her right arm still bleeding. Without wasting a second, he hurried over, squatted down, and quickly untied the ropes binding her wrists and ankles. Then he took off his coat, wrapped it around her, and lifted her into his arms. Pedro had been the one who called the police. He had also led them here. Now, with the hostage rescued, his only priority was getting Catherine to a hospital. "Do you want to wait for the ambulance?" the lead officer asked. "It'll be here any moment." Knowing that the eldest daughter of the Farrell family had been kidnapped, the police had notified emergency services in advance, anticipating possible injuries. Pedro wanted to refuse; he was too anxious to wait. He saw Catherine's bloodied arm, her trembling lips turning pale from the cold. She was too weak to even speak. He just wanted to get her to the hospital as fast as possible. But before he could make a move, two ambulances pulled up. Relieved, he followed them, making sure Catherine got immediate medical attention. Meanwhile, Marco was also loaded into an ambulance, escorted by two officers. The moment he was inside, he passed out. Whether it was from the pain of his wound or the crushing weight of his failure, no one could tell. As for Noelle and Sage, they were handcuffed and shoved into the back of a police car. Cold steel bound their wrists as they sat there, completely drained. It was over. Really, truly over. Not even the Emperor himself could save them now. Why had they made such a colossal mistake? Sage suddenly recalled his father's advice, words he and his brothers had dismissed time and time again. Their father had urged them, more than once, to accept reality. To give up. To sell their properties in the city, take the money, and return to their hometown. They could have bought a house and a shop there, lived comfortably, and collected rent without ever having to worry about money again. On top of that, they had their bank savings and the wealth their mother had left them. If they had just listened, they could have lived an easy, carefree life back home. They had the kind of wealth most people could only dream of, money that others spent a lifetime trying and failing to earn. And yet, they had thrown it all away. Married at First Sight. Chapter 4176. Chapter 4176. But they weren't satisfied. They refused to accept it. They couldn't resign themselves to their fate or simply give up. It's easy to go from hardship to luxury, but going from luxury back to hardship? That's unbearable. Born into the Farrell family, they had come into the world with silver spoons in their mouths. Even if they couldn't inherit everything, their mother was still the head of the Farrell family, making them young masters of privilege. They had never known struggle or poverty. From childhood, they lived in comfort, indulging in extravagance, spending money like it was endless. Wherever they went, people flattered and catered to them. And then suddenly, it was all gone. No more praise. No more admiration. No more protection when they made mistakes. They could barely make any money on their own, and their days of carefree spending, of never having to think about the value of a dollar, were over. They couldn't accept it. Even with more wealth than the average person, it still wasn't enough. They wanted it all back, the admiration, the power, the life where one word from them commanded 100 responses. They wanted to bask in that glory again. Their resentment toward Catherine had been simmering for too long, and finally, it boiled over. They took a risk. They decided to kill her. They kidnapped Catherine, and no matter how strong or resourceful she was, she couldn't fight back while tied up. All they had to do was raise the kitchen knife and it would be over. But when the moment came, fear crept in. Instead of acting, they wasted time, trying to intimidate Catherine into giving them passwords and access to the family's wealth. They blamed her for everything, convinced themselves she had forced their hand. They kept talking and talking. And like so many fools before them, they lost because they talked too much. Now, they were the ones paying the price. They hadn't killed Catherine. They had lost everything. What would happen to their families now? Would their wives stay and wait for them? What about their children? What about their aging father? Regret hit Sage like a tidal wave. They should have listened to their father's advice. Noel sat in stunned silence, his face ashen. He was lost in thought, replaying every decision that had led them here. Was his biggest regret not finishing Catherine sooner? Or was it that he had ignored his eldest brother's warning and insisted on carrying out this plan tonight? It had all seemed foolproof. And yet, who was that man who had just carried Catherine into the ambulance? Pedro. The same Pedro who had supposedly left for a business trip to another province, claiming he'd be gone for at least 10 days, maybe even half a month. How had he come back so soon? Not only had he returned, but he had known Catherine was in danger, called the police, and led them straight here. Noel wasn't a fool. In that moment, it all clicked. They had walked right into a trap. Catherine had known about their scheme all along. She had baited them, luring them into action only to have them taken down in one decisive blow. She knew they feared Pedro, so she made it seem like he had left Jensburg. She let them believe he was far away on business, giving them the confidence to strike. All the while, Pedro had been in the shadows, watching over Catherine, waiting for them to make their move. And the moment they did, he called the police and led them straight to the scene, sealing their fate. Catherine was ruthless. How could she be this cruel to her own relatives? But then again, they had tried to kill her. And in their twisted minds, they still blamed her for it. Noel's thoughts swirled in chaos. Then, finally, he closed his eyes. It was over. They had lost. Catherine had outmaneuvered them completely. Not just them, but Shiloh's brothers too. They were all finished. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4177. Chapter 4177. Farrell Mansion. In the master bedroom, Liberty suddenly jolted awake after barely 2 hours of sleep. Her abrupt movement startled her husband beside her. "What's wrong? Did you have a nightmare?" Duncan sat up, turned on the bedside lamp, and looked at her with concern. I dreamt that Catherine was in danger, Liberty said, her voice filled with unease. She wouldn't let me go with her. She planned to get hurt on purpose. I'm afraid she might have risked her life. After spending so much time with Catherine, Liberty had come to admire her. If not for the deep-seated grudges of the previous generation, she and Catherine could have been the best of friends. Even now, there was a mutual respect between them. Out of everyone in the Farrell family, Catherine was the only one Liberty truly liked. Not just her, Hayden felt the same way. At one point, Hayden had even considered setting Catherine up with Hugh. But Hugh wasn't interested in Catherine, and Catherine had no feelings for Hugh either. Catherine admired Hayden, but Hayden was a woman. When she realized she could never have Hayden, Catherine slowly found herself drawn to Pedro instead. Pedro might be an orphan, but his devotion and loyalty to Catherine were undeniable. The two of them were a perfect match. I'm calling Catherine, Liberty said, grabbing her phone. She didn't care that it was past 3 in the morning. The phone rang. The moment the call connected, Liberty let out a breath of relief. If Catherine's phone had been turned off, it would have meant she was still in danger, likely in the hands of her brothers, unable to reach out for help. A few seconds later, someone answered. Miss Hunt. It was Pedro. Hearing his voice, Liberty's relief was short-lived. Her heart clenched with worry. What happened? How's Catherine? She asked anxiously. It's over, Pedro said, his voice heavy with concern. Miss has been rescued. She's injured. She was just taken to the hospital. She's in the emergency room now. The pain in his voice was unmistakable. He had seen the knife wound on Catherine's right arm, the bruises on her face, the swelling on her nose. He had no idea how severe her injuries were, but they were bad enough. Pedro had never agreed with Catherine's plan, but she had insisted. She believed that by setting this trap, they could take her brothers down in one decisive move, ensuring they would never be a threat again. Even if they were released in a few years, maybe even a decade, the Farrell family would no longer be the same. By then, Liberty's power would be immovable. After years in prison, her brothers wouldn't be thinking about revenge. And Catherine? She and Pedro would leave Jensberg behind, disappearing to a place where no one knew them, where they could start fresh. If her brothers were smart, they'd accept their fate and keep a low profile. Their future wouldn't be glamorous, but they wouldn't starve. It was the best compromise Catherine could offer, a way to honor the mother who had, at least in her later years, truly cared for her. Her mother had done so much for her. And as much as Catherine hated her brothers, they were still her mother's sons. No mother wants to see all her children dead. In return for her mother's kindness, Catherine had spared them once by making sure they didn't provoke Liberty. Because if they had, she wouldn't have even known how she died. But they had forced her hand. She had to teach them a lesson, make them accept reality. After tonight, any remaining sibling bond between them would be gone. Because her brothers had wanted her dead. And if they ever tried again after getting out of prison, she wouldn't just send them back behind bars. Next time, she'd make sure they disappeared for good. Catherine had the same ruthless blood as Clarissa running through her veins. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4178. Chapter 4178. I'm going to the hospital right now. The moment Liberty heard that Catherine had been rescued and taken to the emergency room, sleep was no longer an option. She threw off the covers and got out of bed immediately. Duncan quickly followed. Darling, it's still dark outside, and the spring nights in Jensberg are freezing. You should rest a little longer, Liberty said, worried about her husband's limited mobility and how the cold might affect him. She could handle this alone. But Duncan was already changing. No, I'm coming with you. I might not be able to walk far, but I can manage. I'll call the bodyguard so you won't have to worry about me. Catherine had willingly put herself in harm's way, but that didn't mean Duncan was comfortable letting Liberty go to the hospital alone. He knew Marco and the others had considered targeting Liberty too. The only thing that held them back was the sheer number of powerful people protecting her. They knew that if anything happened to her, they wouldn't survive the consequences. Worse, their own children would be affected. In the end, they had chosen to go after Catherine instead. Despite being their biological sister, they despised her. And if she died, as her closest relatives, they would inherit everything she owned. Catherine had inherited a massive fortune from their mother. People would do anything for money. Even kill. Liberty didn't argue any further. Soon, she and Duncan headed out. Jim and the other bodyguards were already waiting at the door. As soon as they saw the couple step outside, Jim stepped forward. "Jim, take us to the hospital," Liberty ordered. "Yes, ma'am," Jim responded respectfully. Without delay, they rushed to the hospital. By the time Liberty and Duncan arrived, Catherine had already been moved out of the emergency room. Her injuries weren't life-threatening. She had curled up to protect her head during the attack, so even though Noel had beaten and kicked her, the damage wasn't critical. Her body was covered in bruises, but nothing fatal. However, her right arm had a deep gash from a kitchen knife. After stopping the bleeding, the doctors ordered several days of four treatment to prevent infection. She had also developed a fever. Too much time exposed to the sea breeze had let the cold seep into her bones. In the hospital room, Pedro carefully folded a wet towel and placed it on Catherine's forehead. She had taken fever medicine, but her temperature hadn't gone down yet. Her face was swollen and bruised from the beating. She lay there in a fevered daze, barely conscious. Pedro sat beside her, gently pressing an ice pack against her battered face. A knock sounded at the door. Pedro had just finished changing Catherine's towel. Holding the damp cloth in his hand, he walked over and opened the door. "How is Catherine?" Standing outside were Liberty and Duncan. They had rushed straight here without a moment's delay. Pedro stepped aside, letting them in. His usually composed face was filled with worry. His voice was low and heavy with emotion. "She's out of danger," he said. "But her body is covered in bruises. She was beaten badly. Her face is swollen, her nose is bruised, and she has a deep knife wound on her right arm. She spent too much time in the cold, and now she has a fever. She took medicine, but it hasn't gone down yet." Liberty didn't wait for him to finish. She walked straight into the room and sat beside Catherine's bed. Even in sleep, Catherine looked uneasy. Her body was restless, like she was trapped in a nightmare. Liberty's heart ached. Catherine had always been decisive, her actions direct. She had never harbored much love for her three brothers. But in the end, they were still her blood. Despite knowing they wanted her dead, she had set a trap to take them down, perhaps as a final repayment for the small bit of motherly love she had received in her later years.